97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential Show. We have a very, very important and interesting show in store for you today. We have with us Gary Green. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you, Kristen.
So, Gary, what makes him so awesome? Gary is the founder of Green Resources. And Green Resources, if you're in the Triangle, if you've ever been looking for employment, you have come across the name of Green Resources because it is one of the most well-known, what would you say, recruiting firms?
Yeah, recruiting solutions firms.
Recruiting solutions firms in the Triangle area. So, Gary, how did you get into this?
It was years ago when I graduated from NC State.
Yep.
And I was really looking for just that magical 1 year of experience. Was looking for a career in employee relations. And I looked in the paper at that time. You looked for
jobs in
the newspaper.
Was it the school paper or like the Raleigh paper?
No, it was the News and Observer.
Yep.
And there were a lot of postings for personnel coordinators. And those ended up being with several recruiting firms. And the four recruiting firms with whom I interviewed all offered me a sales position, which was not the direction I was taking. But one of them actually got me to accept the sales position.
They were good sales.
And that got me into the industry back in 1990. I took the position for that magical 1 year of experience and ended up landing in a life-fulfilling career that I've continued in ever since.
Which is amazing because I graduated about the same time and the job market was not hot at that moment. I remember that well. There was a recession kind of going on and it wasn't an easy time. But yet you got into recruiting. And were you recruiting for any particular area? Did you start out doing that or just general recruiting?
At that time, I was knocking on doors. I was selling and helping expand the business of the recruiting firm that I with whom I went to work. And stayed with that company for 10 years. We grew exponentially through the 90s. And so I went from sales to also recruiting and managing the operation and continuing growth and development within the company. We were acquired in 97.
Okay.
And 2 years after that is when I decided to leave and start Green Resources, which I did back in 2000. But we were recruiting in a variety of fields and for a variety of positions.
So when you say you were knocking on doors, were you literally knocking on doors?
Literally.
Yep. Okay. So, hi, my name is Gary. I'm with so-and-so. I mean, that's because there's value in that. There's really value in putting your hand in someone else's hand. And email, it's easy, but it's not necessarily effective in areas that way.
I don't think we even had email at the
time
when
I was
starting.
No, we didn't. No, the computer, I mean, there was like CompuServe or something that came around, in the early 90s. But anyway, moving on. So now tell me about your business now.
Yeah, when I decided to start Green Resources, there's a lot of recruiting solution firms in and around the area, probably over 300. And at the time, it may have been maybe 200, 250 at the time, but it's a significant number of resources. So I did receive the question a lot, like, why start something new where so many people were already doing something similar? But it was, like I said, an industry I love. It's a necessity. Both for the customer looking for a position and the customer looking for the talent. And it was just something I wanted to continue in. So when I decided to leave and start Green, it was as many others starting a company, it was out of a bedroom of my house to start. And within a couple of months, opened up the Green Resources office. And again, we've started expanding exponentially once again. And we are up to around 50 employees internally. Last year, we placed over 3,000 individuals into positions. Headquartered here in the Triangle.
Yep.
We do have an office in Wilmington, North Carolina as well.
Okay.
And we fill positions across the nation, but the focus is out of the Triangle operation and now in Wilmington as well.
Well, congratulations
Thank
on
you
that.
Very much.
That is very exciting. So, what sets your firm apart from other recruiting firms?
You know, it's interesting. This is something, and I know we'll get around to talking about helping individuals find that next position. And I think there's a lot of similarities when you are working and doing something, whether it's starting a company or just landing that next position. But how you differentiate yourself in that position, I think, is much like how candidates should be differentiating themselves in the job search.
Absolutely.
And when I have a chance to talk to candidates, I compare, you're asking about the door-to-door selling years ago, and what has made us a success as a company, I know can make candidates a success as individuals. But to answer your question directly, when it comes to the difference for Green Resources, we take pretty much everything and anything that we do. And if everyone else is walking, we'll be running. If they're sitting, we're standing. You just try to find a way to approach things uniquely and differently. So for us, instead of trying to do business with the world, we work hard at being the world for our customers. And so we are very focused on the customers that we want, with whom we want to do business. And forming relationships there. Instead of, again, trying to have multiple offices, it's what can we do in the markets that we serve and really dig deep within those markets, but more importantly, within those customers, within those markets. So we actually almost limit the number of customers that we want so that we can really make a difference within those organizations. And then when it comes to the candidate process, we flip that whole process around. So typically, you're going to, in our industry, interview a lot of individuals and build your database with lots of individuals, but it doesn't mean you actually have opportunities. You then are trying to create opportunities. And I thought it would be better if people are coming to spend time in our office that we actually have something for them, so we're not wasting
their time. Well, that's very nice and generous of you,
So we do a lot up front with technology so that we have access to the talent. But when they're coming into our office, it's actually to talk to them about a position first. And then you can screen better as well because, because of the approach you're taking there. And then back to the company side, it's not about our success, but the success we can create for those around us. And if you approach your business that way, in fact, if you approach that life that way, it makes a difference. And I know it's what it's a difference maker for us.
It's a huge difference. And just if we break this back down to kind of what you're talking about, I need to be careful how I say this.
Sure.
You are your own business, regardless of who you are when you work, period. You are your own business. It doesn't matter if you work for UNC or Duke or whatever. You still are the one who's in charge of your career. And if you look at it that way and see yourself as an intrapreneur, meaning you're going to build your career within an organization, it's a great mindset to have because you look at things slightly differently. And it really sounds like you're taking an entrepreneurial relationship with the organizations you work with because you're looking at big companies and saying, how can we plug into all these different areas? You are where we're going to invest our time and effort.
I think there's a lot of similarities. The thing I would add to that, though, is you've got to sit down and ask those questions. Again, identical to a candidate sitting down for an opportunity and find out from that company. It's not us making the decision, where can we make a difference? It's actually engaging in that conversation to find out from that individual or from that company where they need a difference made. And being willing to create a solution there versus saying this is the only solution we offer.
Can you adapt to it?
But yes, being very adaptable.
You have to be adaptable.
You do, either as a candidate or as a company, to make sure you're making a difference within the organizations that you serve. And making sure as you build your team, it's individuals that really care more about the people around them than they do themselves. And that's a huge difference maker. I know at Green is this incredible team of individuals that really focus on the success of those around them.
All right, well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to become that amazing candidate that everybody wants to hire. That might be an exaggeration, but at least a lot of people want to hire. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra. You are listening to The Art of Potential show, and we have an amazing guest with us right now. We have Gary Green from Green Resources, which is an employment solutions firm. So, Gary, you've been doing this work now for a long time, and let's talk about some of those people who are out there who they have friends who need jobs, they need jobs, they have children who need jobs. What kind of advice would you give to them about how to enter into the workforce?
I took some time earlier today just to look at the number of openings that are just in the 27514 zip code in and around the 27514.
It's Chapel Hill, in case you're wondering.
Chapel Hill area. And Indeed.com is a wonderful place that pulls in all the online postings, wherever they may be. And just in the last 2 weeks alone, there's been 6,100 postings of jobs in and around Chapel Hill.
Wow.
And in addition to that, there are some wonderful volunteer sites like ncnonprofits.org and volunteermatch.org. Volunteer Match allows you, again, to put in a city or your town or zip code, and it'll tell you the number of volunteer openings. And there were 332 postings that are existing postings for volunteer opportunities in and around
Chapel Hill. A great way to get your foot in the door.
Exactly. So I'm looking at that. And so going to your question of advice, a lot of times candidates will look at that and think that I need to apply to all of those because of my position.
They do,
I need to get into that. I just need a position.
Right. I just need someone to pay me and I'll do about anything.
And so I would encourage parents talking to their children or individuals looking for that next position to approach it differently. I mentioned earlier the difference. It's just whatever everybody else is doing, take just the opposite approach. And so there's actually a list of things that I would suggest. And it starts with first just taking time to identify your gifts, whatever those gifts may be. And so there's three critical questions. And actually, I would encourage individuals to create a sheet of paper with three columns. And in one column, it's what do I like to do? And making a list of those things. And then what do I do well? Making a list of those. And then what do I want to learn and keep on learning? And
you create great questions.
Yeah, you create that list, which then allows you, I know through your site, there's a lot of tools that you can take those keywords and then it'll help you understand more the types of positions that may be best for you. But you can go back to a place like Indeed.com and start putting in those words and it'll show you the types of positions that are out there that need that skill.
That need your skill set.
Or that knowledge. And that's where it starts, is to take time to understand what it is that you can do that can make a difference. Once you do that, you then create a target list of companies and industries that need that skill. And then it's a very focused effort of landing opportunities, whether or not that there's a job posting, that doesn't matter.
Say that again. One more time.
Whether or not there's a job posting, that does not matter.
Ooh, that's a nugget, people. That is such a nugget. Why?
Well, most positions that are being filled are never posted.
Oh, another nugget. Like, take this, sell this. This is gold, people. This is pure gold. Yes.
And so what you need to find out are the types of companies you prefer to go to work for. And those are the companies that you're going to use your network to create informational interviews. In fact, I know you've spoken about this in the past, of the value of informational interviews. Yeah. And you get in and you have an opportunity, even though you're not there to sell yourself, just by the approach you're taking, you are selling yourself and actually creating an opportunity for yourself. And the list goes on from there. But I think your question is about getting started. And that is first understanding where you can make a difference, finding the opportunities where you can make a difference, using your network to get an introduction within those companies and within those industries to open up a door for a potential interview.
Great, great, great advice. And the one thing I would piggyback on that is one thing I have seen in working with clients is they have done exactly what you're talking about, Gary. They have identified their strengths, their gifts. They're very excited to go out into the workforce. They know what they want to learn, but there aren't any jobs out there in their particular passion area. And I will say that if that happens, or if maybe there's five jobs in the whole triangle area in which your particular area of interest fits, then you might want to open up and expand your interests. And I've seen that a few times. You've got to have something that people are willing to pay you to do. And if it's a business, they're going to want some type of position that generates a profit or keeps the system moving so that profits can be generated. Nonprofits are going to be tied to whatever their grants coming in want or whatever their community base wants. But that's a really important thing because I do think sometimes people get very excited about their passions, which is absolutely so important. But it's important also to have someone to pay you to do that thing. So
excellent point. And you had mentioned nonprofits. I think that's a wonderful opportunity when you're in a career transition to get involved out there. And you'll be amazed, even though you're not doing it for the introductions,
right?
The introductions that can be made. And there is nothing wrong if you've already created a list of the industries and companies where you would like personally to make a difference, yeah, is to see where they're involved in the community.
Yes.
And getting involved in the community in those areas. You have time to do that. And there are incredible networking groups as well
they
that
are.
You can get involved in that will help make those introductions. And in today's time, places like LinkedIn, it is so easy to make a connection. When people have gone to school, there's an allegiance to that university. And you can do searches within companies,
yep,
where you might want to go to work and find others that graduated from the same school you graduated from, where you, from which you graduated, then that person perhaps can make an introduction. There's so many different avenues that you can take. I want to give you one example.
Please do.
Of someone that we hired for a position within our office and practice exactly what I'm talking about. And so I had an opportunity to speak with the alumni network over at NC State.
Yep.
And someone sent... We'll get to how you follow up after interviews, and a personalized note is critical, which she did. And she mentioned in the note specifically what I had said to make a difference for her, and actually did the exercise that I just mentioned to you, yeah, of the three columns.
Yep.
And in it, she said, what's interesting, when I did that, it led me to think that a career in recruiting is where I can make a difference. So if you don't mind, I would like to schedule a meeting with you to learn more about what attracted you to the industry. And why do you stay in the industry? And why are you so passionate about the industry? She did exactly what we're talking
right.
about. Immediately, and I get calls every day. The yep. recruiting team gets calls every day, hundreds of yep. emails a day of people needing to land that next position.
Yep.
And out of all of those coming in, this is when I immediately walked down to our director of recruiting solutions and said, you need to call this person today and have them come in and meet with them. And she came in thinking she was coming in for that informational interview.
Right.
For us, she was coming in that this is a person we need to look at for a potential position. And within a week and a half or so, she was in our office actually working with us. And you so taking the yeah. approach that we've talked about so far can make a difference.
Well, she set herself apart from all those
she
other
did.
People. I mean, that's really what it's about. She set herself apart because she showed an interest in your company and you and what you all did.
And made it about us.
Yes, and made yeah. it all about you. It is all about the people writing the checks, people. Just remember that. It is always about them. It is never about you. Which leads me, Gary, to a question. So I've had a client come to me recently who is in a really bad financial situation. And this person has been working really hard to find a job. And they were wondering, and I had my reaction to this, but I want to hear your reaction. They were wondering if they should just go into their next interview and lay it on the line and say, hey, you know, times are bad for me right now, and I'm really desperate to get a job. Can I please have this job? What is your reaction to that approach to a job interview?
It's a great question. And I know there are so many individuals that this is a very difficult time, and any time through a career transition is a difficult time, but sometimes it's extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. And to set emotions aside through the process can be a challenge, but it is something that the person has to do. And right. so there's a list, what I call the unlucky seven. And
The unlucky seven.
So when it comes to an interview process, the things that you should avoid in that. And one of those, when it comes to the unlucky seven, is that poor presentation, poor communication, wrapping two of them up into this of not being positive through that process and taking a negative approach versus a positive approach.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, different strategies for setting yourself apart in the interview. You're listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential Show, and we have our great guest with us, Gary Green of Green Resources. It is an employment solutions firm. And so, Gary, we're out there, we're looking for work. We know someone who's out there looking for work, whatever it is. And there's this thing called a screening interview. What is that?
Well, can I back up from the screening
Please
interview?
Please do, yes.
So the screening interview, things happen actually before that. And so when a company is hiring someone, there's three tiers, if you will, to the screening process. And the first one is a skill match. There's things that you need from someone going into that position.
Absolutely.
And there are skills that a person has. And the interesting thing over the years is to see how technology has been able to help with that first tier of screening. And so it's critical.
Expand on that a little bit.
Sure. Well, I mentioned Indeed.com earlier from the candidate side that you can actually put in keywords and it's going to pull in jobs.
Yes. Keywords, people.
Employers are doing that on candidates.
They are.
They're going and they're putting keywords of what they need from someone. And that is
those words are in the job description.
That's exactly right. And so you, in fact, it's interesting that you say that. I would encourage individuals to never send out the same resume twice.
Right.
That it needs to be rewritten for each position for which the person is applying.
Using the keywords.
Using the keywords because technology is going to pull that out. And right or wrong, it's happening.
It is. It is.
And so that skill match happens at the first level. And so it's critical, in addition to applying online, as you should, because most jobs will say you need to go through this process, is to find a champion somewhere in your network of someone that can ideally walk down the hall and say, I know that this person has applied online, but this is someone you need to pull out. We have hundreds of people applying for any opening. There's hundreds of people that have applied for that opening. And we may choose to look at 100 of those resumes. We may choose to talk to about 30 of those individuals. We may choose to interview about 10 of those individuals. We may choose to take them to this next round of maybe five of them. I mean, it gets down to just a very few. And then out of that, we may be submitting to a client three. And then that client is going through their own screening process on our end.
And that's why they get paid. Just to be clear, that's why recruiting firms get paid to do what you're doing.
Right.
That's your job.
Is to make sure that it's the right match, not only from a skill set, but the second tier is the performance match, and that's what happens in the interview. And so once you get to the point of the interview, it's going to be less typically about going through your resume and more what are the experiences that you have so that I know that you're going to be make an immediate impact within this organization and make a difference within this organization? And so what happens is a behavioral interview. And that behavioral interview is not so much the skills, but what difference can you make in this? And it's going to be more open-ended questions and asking for experiences. And you might as well go ahead and put together some case studies about yourself to be prepared for that interview. And that's what's going to happen in the screening interview that you mentioned is just to make sure. But a lot of screening interviews actually can happen over the phone.
Yes, they do.
And it's a combination of a skill match and performance match. And we will do that when we have positions, that there's a set of questions to make sure that we're screening appropriately, that we're spending the time with the right individuals in the face-to-face interview. And then the third piece, which is critical, that's the culture match.
And
that's where you're making sure that the personality, behaviors, and values of this individual match the personality and behaviors and values of the company and the department within that company and the hiring manager within that department.
And those are all so huge, so huge. So I want to talk a little bit about the behavioral interview because if you are out in the job market right now or if you know somebody who is, anyone who's about to graduate, all companies, well, all might be a bit of an overstatement, but most companies have moved to behavioral style interviewing. And really, the crux of it is to see what behaviors you exhibited in the past when faced with similar situations. So what was the situation? What tasks did you do? What results did you get from that? What, you know, how did you overcome the obstacles? Those are the questions that are asked in a behavioral interview. So those are the types of things you're asking. Is that correct?
That's correct. I would encourage candidates, though, to also do the same thing in the interview process. I mentioned early on the importance of asking questions, I believe, and it's more about the other person than it is yourself. So as you go through that interview process, the questions that you're asking should be along those lines as well. And it's not just tell me more about this position or more about the company. I just listed a few questions that I think would be valuable for candidates, because I don't think many candidates are asking these types of questions.
No.
Of asking the person that's interviewing you, tell me more about your top three goals this year. What about the goals of your department, your company's goals? What are the things that the person you're hiring in this position can do to help you reach those goals? What does a successful first week look like when a person comes into this position? How about the first 30 days, the first 90 days? What's your biggest concern about someone stepping into this role?
That's huge right there.
These are appropriate questions that can show that you're very involved. And it's not, in addition, it's not tell me about this position, but show that you've researched the company. And go ahead and say, I was reading blank.
Right.
And I noticed this position blank. And tell me about how this position can help with whatever you may have read recently. Is such a better way to frame a question than just to tell me more about this position.
Absolutely. No, and that's such a general question. The other, and you touched on this too, the job description that's in front of you is going to have some general ideas about what the job is going to do. But often the person who's hiring for that position, they have things that are keeping them up at night that they're not listing. And so if you can figure out what those are and how to make those problems go away, they will be so happy with you. They'll, you know, send you roses, or I don't know what they'll do, but they'll be very, very, very happy about that.
It's funny that you mentioned that one. The last person we just hired internally at Green, that was a difference maker when I was interviewing him, and I asked if he had any questions. And one of the questions is, if you don't mind, I'd love to know what keeps you up at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was great that he was willing to ask that question. And he actually asked it of others in the office, so that when it got to the final interview stage, he was able to share, you know, here's some of the things that I've heard that are keeping people up at night. And here's where I think I can make a difference.
Oh, that's beautiful. You should totally do that. Whatever, wherever you're interviewing, that is a beautiful way to go about that.
The one other thing that I just don't see anyone do, which I don't know why more people don't do this, but you've spent a lot of time now with this company. And why not, in that last interview, come in, or if you think it's going to be your only chance, to put together a 90-day plan. So you are being interviewed, you have the opportunity to come back to sit down and say, this position, make sure they know that you have an interest in the position. Right. But because of my level of interest, I just took some time to put together a 90-day plan. If I was in this position, the things I would do and where I think I can take it. And so if you don't mind, I'd love to share that with you. And I just don't see many people doing that. And it can make such a difference when they're comparing, because you've already told them it's what they're wanting to know. How can this person make a difference? You're actually handing it to them.
That is gold, people. Take that to the bank. That is some great, great advice. And one thing I will put out there is, Gary and I are talking about some of the larger companies that have human resources departments or recruitment areas, or they have some framework. Now, a lot of businesses are small businesses, and they are not going to have the same resources to hire someone like Green, or you know, they're going to have a totally different process, and there may not be several interviews. So if you can go in then, maybe on the second interview, with some type of an idea, that will definitely set you apart.
Even the first.
Yes, even the first. Which brings us to our next topic that I really wanted to talk about. Actually, let's take a break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about the culture of an organization, because that is so key to success. So you are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is The Art of Potential Show, and I have with me Gary Green. Wow, is he such a great resource. His company is actually named Green Resources Employment Solutions Firm. And we're talking about getting yourself hired or getting anyone you know, giving them career advice. One of the things that comes up is the cultural match of an organization with the individual. So, Gary, in your estimation, what are some of the cultural indicators of an organization?
I think there's a number of ways you can go about figuring that out within companies. The best place to start is the company's website.
Yep.
And even at Green Resources website, there's a mission, vision, values, and culture. And a lot of websites actually provide it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to know the culture of that organization just by looking at the website. The next area, I mentioned having a coach or having a champion previously, and using LinkedIn, you can find individuals that work within that organization or previously yep. worked within that organization to call and ask, tell me about the culture of this organization. Tell me about, if you happen to know who the decision maker is,
yep.
tell me
Very
about
important.
This person and what are their values and what's most important to them. And the culture is going to be different. To sit here and list the different cultures of there's so many of them, it's more important just to take the time to research to make sure you understand.
Absolutely.
So as an example at Green Resources, you will find when you go there that it's a group of individuals that they want to make a difference in the world around them. And mm-hmm. they spend a lot of time volunteering in the community. And so they're going to look for that from someone else. Does this yeah. person understand there's a bigger calling? but also they work hard. And so this whole focus of goal-oriented and being able to do so much in a given day and being able to juggle a lot of things. And so for a person to come in and be able to share that they can do that, you don't have to be asked that question. You could just tell by looking at the website. We actually list the values on our website. So you could take that list
helpful.
And then be able to, but also use that if those aren't your values, then it's the wrong position for
right.
you. And unfortunately, people will say, no, I want this position, and then they'll try to fake it.
Right.
And typically that can be pulled out in the interview process. It's better to go after the position that you know the values match.
Yes.
And you can do that by doing the research, asking your network,
yep.
going online, seeing, and then if they're involved in any nonprofit organization, you can actually call that nonprofit organization and ask them about that individual, about that company as well. So those are some ways to go about
those
uncovering the culture.
Absolutely. And I will say sometimes the culture of a department in an organization it varies from one department to another. Culture can
it does.
Leadership makes a huge difference. And you can get into some pockets of organizations that are incredibly nurturing and building and some in which, for whatever reason, it just doesn't bring out the best in people. So, all right. So you teased us a little bit about the unlucky seven,
sure.
and we didn't get to hear all those. What are those?
Well, when it comes to preparing for an interview, a lot of times candidates will wonder, why did I not even get the interview? They think
yes.
it went great.
Yes.
And there are just some things that I think that if one of these seven happen, it's kind of a deal breaker. And so I want to go.
These are important. Pay attention to these.
So number one, I think on my list, but on so many individuals' lists, is not being prepared. Having no questions to ask. Even if you've interviewed through seven people and you've asked all your questions and the eighth person you sit down, you should never say, I don't have any questions. They've already been answered. Because what you're telling that person you're interviewing now is they're not important. And you mm-hmm. always have to have questions ready to go, not knowing your work history, not knowing your resume, not researching the company ahead of time, being late potentially to the interview. All of these things, not having an objective of what you're trying to get out of this time with the company, having a great attitude and clear goals, making sure you're prepared. That's number one. Number two is poor presentation. This happens in your introduction, whether it's on the phone or through the email that you may have sent. Your appearance in the interview, Are you sitting up? Are you engaged? What did you choose to wear that day? Your resume. I see so many people that will reach into and have a folded resume that they hand in.
Yeah, no.
Or they're reaching into some type of, and it's wrinkled or rolled up. It's making sure that everything that you do is being presented professionally. The third one is poor communication. Not being able to project views clearly, not listening, not taking notes, always take notes. Interrupting, never a good thing. The fourth is lack of self-confidence and enthusiasm. We mentioned that one earlier, but making sure that you have enthusiasm for that position and for that opportunity. Fifth is not asking questions. I mentioned that earlier, but having questions ready to go regardless of who you're sitting down with. Sixth is over-criticizing the former employer.
Oh my gosh, that is huge. Even if you work for, I don't know, some terrible Ebenezer Scrooge person.
and professional interviewers are going to try to get you to complain about the previous employer just to see if you will. And you want to make sure you don't take the bait
right
there. And
ooh, that's terrible.
And not over-criticize a former employer. And the seventh, just as critical as the others, but unable to explain job transitions or gaps.
Yeah.
You've got to be able... Gaps and transitions are going to happen.
They happen.
You have to be ready to explain them.
And not out of fear.
Right.
You know, there are things that happen in our lives. People all have things that happen in their lives. But you do need to figure it out before you go into the interview. Because if you don't, you are going to get tripped up by one of these professional interviewing people. All right. So here we go. We're in the interview. We're not going to do any of those seven things ever. And it's going to be great. So we're getting ready to start the job. How are we going to set ourselves apart? How are we going to make ourselves amazing?
In that interview process, something that has changed over the years, we didn't have to worry as much about the internet years ago.
No.
Now you have to.
Yes,
and
you do.
You have to be aware of anything that you are willing to put online because it's there forever.
Yes, it is.
And whether or not employers should be looking at your Facebook or whatever personal site you may have is beside the point because they are.
Yes.
And so one, to be amazing, going back to your of how you're separating yourself from others is be aware of what you do online. If you use even something like Yelp and enjoy criticizing the restaurants that you go to.
I never even thought about that.
A potential employer is going to notice those things.
And
this is a person that chooses to gripe more than
make a
difference.
They're a one star.
I use that as an example of it. It could be anything.
That is a great example.
Online is going to be noticed. So it starts there. Because people are getting to know your history before they ever meet you.
Yes, they are.
I already mentioned the one about the resume and making sure it's tailored to that position.
For sure.
And not relying just on the, you know, this is a perfect resume. I'm going to submit it. And I know they're going to see it because everything's perfect. I mentioned earlier there are hundreds of resumes coming in.
Yes.
And a number of those are going to look perfect. So having someone that can walk down the hall and say this is a person that you need to talk to. And then once you get in person with the individual, it's being prepared so you can talk almost better about that company and that individual than you can about yourself. And doing the research so that it's almost as if you were already hired there and you're already in the position. You spent enough time researching it to be able to be that engaged in that discussion. And then the most critical piece out of all this, you can do all of that. And if you don't follow up correctly, they're going to forget you. And you need to make sure you follow up correctly. And
correctly would be
a handwritten note. And people will challenge me on this. And they'll say, I want to get back quickly with an email and be the first to respond.
Yep.
Great. If you feel that that's important, still follow up with a handwritten note. But taking the time, and there's a way to write a handwritten note. Instead of saying, I want to thank you, a handwritten note should be about the other person. So this is what I noticed about your organization that impresses me. And I just want to mention these are the individuals that just blew me away in the interview.
You have given us amazing, amazing advice. Thank you so much for
your
time. If somebody wants to reach out to Green Resources, where do they find you?
Yeah, our website is www.greenresources, and that's green with an E. So greenresources.com. Our phone number is 919-862-8602. And we encourage individuals that they're looking for a position. All of our positions are posted online, and they can take a look and see what may interest them. Call if they have questions about any of those positions, or if they need individual help, they can reach out to us there as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Gary. Been amazing. Thank you for listening to the Art of Potential show. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.